You're listening to the Colts Blue Zone Podcast with Mike Chappell and Dave Griffiths.
Inside the Fox 59 CBS 4 podcast studio, welcome to the Colts Blue Zone Podcast. Alongside Mike Chappell and Matt Adams, I'm Dave Griffiths. Thank you for joining us for the post-draft edition of the Colts Blue Zone Podcast. The Colts.
Have you done your mock draft for 2025 yet?
You know what? I have not. I have not quite made it.
Somebody has.
I'm still waiting for the Raz scores for next year's to drop.
And I've got Shedeur Sanders as my
there you
top
go, Shedeur. Come
what
on
is,
now.
What is Coach Prime doing?
I don't know. Anything and everything.
Trashing kids.
Well, yeah, it's apparently, allegedly.
That's a great look.
Though he and Shedeur are certainly coming out swinging, defending themselves. I'll tell you that much. So, anyway, we will get into depth on the Colts' 9 draft picks from this year.
And so the over was good.
What's that? Over was good. Mm-hmm. We knew.
Was the 7, 8.5? I think we put it out.
Yeah, I think we did, and it hit, and we were right as we usually are when talking about the draft, at least, and how many picks Chris Ballard
had to get
take.
That 6th round pick back.
Yeah, had to get that 6th round pick back. I like them picks. But also before we really dive headfirst in the draft, we will mention that today, as we tape this podcast, May 2nd, Thursday, is the day that NFL teams have to announce whether they are picking up the 5th-year option on their 2021 draft class. So that would be quitty pay for the Colts, and nothing from the Colts as of yet.
Probably as soon as we're done recording.
Exactly. And it'll be perfect timing, and that'll come out. But I think the number, Matt, if I'm not mistaken, is like $13.7 million, or right around 13.4. So it's below $14 million for a 5th year for a guy who had 8.5 sacks last year, who has increased in sacks every year, and when he's healthy, he's a really good player and is a fantastic edge defender against the rush. It's not a ludicrous number by any stretch of the imagination.
I would do it.
So, like, we've talked about this briefly.
I would do it because.
Yeah, you do it. And maybe you're working toward getting a longer-term deal done, and that's why the Colts haven't announced anything with it. That's pure speculation for me.
That's always an option.
Exactly, it is. Always.
I mean, they cleared some cap space.
Exactly.
You know, and the thing is that 13.4 number.
That was for Twitter. Remember what Ballard said?
It was for Twitter. But, you know, they have the space for it, and then you look at what some of these other top edge rushers make, and obviously Quiddy's not in that class at this point in his career. But, you know, you're looking at your Max Crosby's making $23.5 million a year. Your Bosa is making $34 million a year. That makes that $13.4 million, you know, when you're talking about the monopoly money that is pro sports, looks like a bargain.
It seems a whole lot better than 34. That's for darn sure.
And keep in mind that if you don't, I guess either way, I mean, Dio Odengbo.
That guy.
He's free agent next year, too.
Yes, he is.
So, you know, you're always planning ahead. So we'll see. I think we'll talk about, as we've talked about, this will come out as soon as we've dropped this, and people are going to say, well, a bunch of idiots.
So, yeah. But either way, whether the Colts sign him or do not, he has a little bit more competition in the room with him next year, and that is how the NFL draft began for the Indianapolis Colts. At 15, they end up picking at 15th overall, which we can talk about that in a little bit, but we will talk about the player first before we talk about the options that happened with that pick. The Colts draft edge rusher out of UCLA, Latu. Raz score of 9.37, ran the 40 in 4.64. He is the first defender to go in this draft, chap. It was an historic draft in the fact that 14 offensive players were selected before the very first defensive player. So the Colts obviously get the top defender on their board.
We were talking, if you could, you sat there 2 months ago and they had told 30 teams, you're going to get the first, your first defensive player in the draft. What do you think? You know, outside of the Bears and Washington, you'd say, sign me up.
Right.
You can argue with the pick if you preferred Dallas Turner or whomever. But to get that, they were really over the moon about it. And, you know, people say, well, he's an injury risk. Well, they did their work. So, you know, as Ballard or one of the scouts said, you know, he played 2 years and he 23.5 sacks and whatever it was, 34 tackles for loss. So, they're convinced that the neck fusion, cervical neck fusion, is a thing of the past.
First of all, I'll say this about guys with injury concerns. Everybody in the NFL is an injury concern.
No question.
Because on every single play, there are collisions that would knock me out for a week. Every play, there are these collisions. So So if you're concerned about injury, like I get it. Like I say this half tongue in cheek because I get significant medical concerns and I get how important medical history
is
for players.
And this is a neck.
And this is a neck.
You know, Shaq Leonard.
Yes. But if you're... I say all this jokingly to be like, if you're confident that the neck has healed, then why be concerned about it at all?
From a team's point of view, it's a non-issue.
Exactly. And that's why they took him 15th overall. And from every draft analyst that I watched, ESPN, NFL Network, Fox Sports, read on CBS, The Athletic, everyone, literally everyone, says that Laiatu Latu had the best tape of any defender in this draft. And some said the best tape that they saw in this draft because he was darn near unblockable at times as an edge rusher. And this is something that we have talked about for years, Chap, on this Colts Blue Zone podcast. In spite of getting decent edge defenders from times like a Justin Houston that you sign in free agency, like a Yannick Ngakoue that you sign in free agency, some guys that you draft, like Quiddy Pay that we just mentioned briefly ago, having 5.5, 6 sacks, 8 sacks, Dio Dangbo been doing better last year. They have not had a guy who can come on in the fourth quarter like Colts fans saw for years with Dwight Freeney, with Robert Mathis, and close out the game. The guy that you know is going to affect the quarterback, even if that the other team decides to max protect down the stretch, try to give their quarterback as much time as possible. They don't have Nick Bosa. They don't have Max Crosby. They don't have those guys. And they are hoping that Laiatu Latu can develop into someone like that.
This is we go back in hindsight always, and Ballard sort of tells us what to look for and what to expect. And we've talked about this. They tried like heck to sign Daniel Hunter. They did.
Yep.
I mean, maybe as hard as they've tried on a top-tier free agent in a long time. Didn't get him. Well, they got a younger – they got what they think is a much younger version. But I think because even Ballard said, well, I tried to sign a 29-year-old guy.
Yeah.
So – and also, what they didn't get – my takeaways from the draft is one that Ballard sort of told us. He gave us hints that this was very possible. I don't think anyone thought in the Colts draft room that Laiatu would be there at 15. But he also talked about how high he is on the corner room, which I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But he also said they tried to had serious discussions moving up.
Right.
That wasn't for a defensive player.
No.
That was for maybe Neighbors, which would have taken going to 6, or Odunze,
which would have taken getting to 9.
Well, and first of all, if that's what you want to do, fine. But the Giants were locked in on him, and so were the Bears. But the fact that they made that attempt tells you that he does believe that receiver room needs help, which they got to in round two.
Yeah, Matt, we'll break into that. If you've seen out there, the Colts have dropped their latest, like it used to be called With the Next Pick. I forget what it's called now. It's like behind.
I watched it today. It was really pretty good.
I did too.
Behind the scenes or something.
That's right. Behind the scenes or something. They kind of give you a behind the scenes look at what's going on there at headquarters. And they give you just video from the draft room. And they were working. They were trying to get up. But here's the thing, and Chris told us this, Ballard, at the draft, that it takes two to tango. And there are a lot of other teams that like the players they had up there, and that's because other teams took quarterbacks. And so what was good for the Colts in the fact that quarterbacks went high was also bad for the Colts in the sense that nobody else wanted to move from up there because the quarterback teams wanted to take quarterback, and the other teams were getting some of the best players that were on their board outside of quarterback.
Receiver teams wanted receivers and more offensive tackles.
So that's why the Colts kind of got stuck at 15, but in spite of trying to get up.
Yeah, and it was my sense that this wasn't necessarily a question of price. Like, the Colts didn't want to give up picks or it was too rich. It was teams wanted to stay where they were because guys that they had on their board fell to them in places that they did not believe. Because especially when Penix got picked there by Atlanta, and then, you know, we end up having a sixth quarterback picked with Bo Nix from
Unbelievable.
Denver.
Unbelievable.
And that meant that 8 premium players were now available before the Colts got there.
Uh-huh.
And everybody in a league that tends to go offense these days wanted to get their tackle or their wide receiver. It looked like they might have had a shot at Brock Bowers, because when the Raiders took him, they had drafted Mayer
just last year from Notre Dame.
Who was a tremendous tight end.
Wonder what they would have done.
right? If Bowers was there, Bowers or Latu?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I lean toward Latu. I really do.
I think so, based on what Mike talked about with the Colts trying to spend some money to get an outside pass rusher. That's where they feel that they have a deficiency. Mm-hmm. So, not that they don't have deficiencies in playmakers as well, but I think they view that more as important and more beneficial to the development of their defense.
Yeah, I think that would have been a very interesting decision.
Do you think they would have given up two future ones to move up to six?
Yes,
to
get, I do.
Do like, you really?
Well, I don't know if they would have given up two. Like, I believe they would have given up this one to kind
well,
of
you
well,
have,
you have
I,
to.
I always consider like, this one a flip. That,
exactly.
Would you have given up 25 and 26?
I don't think so.
And yeah, I think that would have been a bridge too far.
Yeah, I think so.
And that's what the price was, you know, for Trey Lance years ago when the 49ers had to jump up kind of a similar range-ish to get into the top three or
but
four.
But you're talking quarterback there, which is...
It is, but at that point, there's still quarterbacks on the board that teams can take. So that's what teams up there are going to be asking for. So,
but again, I think the bottom line is no one would trade back to him.
Right.
15 was a long way to go.
Yeah, and being there, if they had had... maybe the 10 pick or something like that.
Right.
And somebody just had to go back a couple of slots and they were still going to get their premium player.
Yeah.
But at 15, different ballgame.
Yeah. I'm sure that Chris Ballard at least made a call to the Cardinals to see if they could get up for Marvin Jr. But
the owner probably said, just call him.
Exactly. Like, if he didn't even call, he wouldn't have a job today. Like, that's just how it is. To be able to get Marvin would have been. Icing on the cake. It would have been a dream scenario, but it was not meant to be. And as we told you for months leading up to the draft, that would have been just like it was a bridge too far already to get
Correct.
Neighbors. It was a bridge way too far to be able to go up there and get Marvin. So it's Latu, who seems like a great young man. Really cool interview. Do you have any interest besides football? No. So that was great.
Shane Steichen should get along just swimmingly.
Exactly. And for a guy that was at a time medically retired, told to medically retire, like you have to really love football to come back and to grind through it. And so like that's something that that you always hear from Ballard or Steichen is we want guys in the building who love football. So there's no doubt that how much Latu cares and loves this game. And so I'm eager to see what he can do. I'm eager to see what his role is going to be. Like, I don't necessarily care if he starts or not. It might still be Ebukam and Quinny Pay.
Dwight Freeney didn't start till midseason.
Exactly. And then he had like 12 sacks in one game.
Against Philly,
exactly. I remember it. And then was couldn't take him out of the lineup. So he will still play whether he starts or not. So I think that's completely relevant.
He'll make it, what, 30 snaps? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Get him out there. Let him rush the quarterback and let him do what he does best and then go from there.
We'll see how it works out as far as people staying healthy. But the fact of their nickel pass rush package is going to be fabulous.
Yeah, I agree.
They've got four or five guys. You say, yeah, I mean, he should be in there. Well, you're probably going to rush four.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
So you know, it's the old thing of you can never have enough quality pass rushers. This, as Ballard has said, this is the best defensive front they've had since he's been here. I think that's very true.
And you can say, and you can critique the pick, saying, well, they already had 51 sacks last year, Indianapolis era record. Why are you adding this? Well, I think part of it is what we mentioned earlier. You still, the guys last year, you didn't have a strong closer.
Who's your closer?
Right, who you could rely on in that time. So you're still looking for that. And also, I would if you're debating between rush and cover, I would rush every single time. And
it's in a way, this addresses your corner situation.
In a way, yes, it does. So it makes your corners better because your pass rush is going to be better with Laiatu Latu there, assuming that he's healthy and et cetera, et cetera. And I assume that he is. I have no reason to assume that he's not. So that's the first round pick, Laiatu Latu. Second round, 46 overall, Colts trade back. There it is right there. Picking
of course they did.
Exactly. So they move back six spots, and then they add 2 fifth-round picks for their trouble, which is pretty good for moving back only six spots. You get 2 fifth-round picks, you know. Was that Grover Stewart? Was he a fourth-round pick? I forget.
He might have been a four.
He might have been a four. I know Marlon Mack was a four.
Naeem Hines
might have been four or five. Robert Mathis. Was Robert Mathis a five? So you got two Robert Mathises there for moving back.
I'd take that.
Yeah, I know, right? For real. And at 52 overall, the Colts draft Adonai A.D. Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas. And this one,
Raz.
Yes, light up your Raz beacons, ladies and gentlemen. A 9.99 in the Raz. That
darn East German official just grading down.
Exactly, dadgummit. So I read the score that our friend Kent, who runs the Raz.football site, put out, and the scorecard says, like, out of the X number of receivers who've tested the combine since 1987, you know, it's in the thousands, he is the fifth most athletic receiver to ever test at the combine, or to ever test through Raz. And when you're talking about receiver, that's a premium athletic position already. So it's not like you're the most athletic punter out there, which, hey, credit to the most athletic punter. Congratulations. Slow clap, golf clap for you. But you're the fifth most athletic receiver to ever test in this vein. So he runs a 4.34 40. And again, if you saw the Colts behind the scenes, Jim Bob Cooter loves this guy. It sure sounds like other coaches like him and scouts like him. It seems like Jim Bob Cooter thought that he was one of the best receivers in this draft for what he said. Mitchell played for Georgia. Then he transferred to Texas. Certainly had a coming out year at Texas. Scored 11 touchdowns last year. One of my favorite stats, Chap, for Mitchell was this guy played in five college football semifinal and championship games in his career, four with Georgia and then one with Texas last year. He scored a touchdown in every one of those five games. Big-time playmaker in a big-time game. And the Colts need some guys that can stretch the field. Mitchell certainly seems to foot the bill there.
It's timing. The Colts just put out a little note here that since 2002, AD's had 103 targets, one drop.
I'll take that. I will take that.
So, and again, we can get into it a little bit. This was the flashpoint of the draft, Colts related, because of AD's reaction. What was it? What are you feeling right now? Well, right now I'm feeling pissed. And then Ballard went off. We will not and cannot, you know,
Recite,
because we, you know, I had trouble even putting my in my post for the
website. A lot of bracketed expletives,
right? And whether that was him trying to take some of the pressure off the guy, I don't know. But what, you know, Kevin Bono asked him, he said, "What skill set do you bring to the offense?" He said, "The best," and he made it very clear that he was not happy that he was the 11th receiver taken. Boards had him six or seven best. And there were reports of attitudes, and one guy had uncoachable, and they brought up his type 2 diabetes or whatever, where if he's off his meds, he's whatever. I don't know. And Ballard had enough. He did this last year with C.J. Stroud over his leaked IQ test.
Yeah, it's not the Wonderlic anymore, but
no,
it's
whatever replaced
the aptitude test.
Yeah, and he went off. And, you know, devil's advocate, the Colts traded
down.
They traded back to get him.
They loved him so much, they traded back to get him.
But no, if he's what they think, this is going to be a great competition for Alec Pierce.
Yep,
the deep threat, and that just is going to make you better. I still think they internally they believe Alec Pierce was held down by the Colts the last 2 years. And you can never have enough speed. And to see what Steichen and Jim Bob can do, because you're right, Jim Bob was all over his reaction. He wore me out yesterday during the media interviews. He's just all over with his arm gestures and all that. But they like this guy. And again, they said speed to power. What, you know, the speed you bring takes the top off of this. And so and he's going to come in here with a chip on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing as long as it's not a detriment. Reggie Wayne won't let it be a detriment.
Right. Matt, you and I were texting about this pick during the draft because we were talking about my Raz draft.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there was no way that he was there at, like, any mock draft at even 46.
No way.
Like, he always went in the back half of the first round somewhere at the very top of the second. But an obvious, like, if you're making a Raz pick, it's him at 9.99. So I think there's a lot of reasons for Colts fans to be excited about this pick with the athleticism he brings and, of course, with the athletic quarterback to try to get him the ball wherever he is on the field.
I mean, for me, this guy's much bigger, but it's sort of the Josh Downs pick for me of this draft. Now, Downs is third round, this guy second round. But it's just the amount of excitement that you get, because what the Colts need, speed and explosiveness. This guy has got it all, and he's got some size on him, and now he's going to come in and he's got a chip on his shoulder. But it is kind of funny, as you guys mentioned, that the Colts picked him, but they had traded down, and he was still there. So they could have gotten him six picks earlier and decided not to. They dropped down, and then he was there, and they went ahead and picked him.
Yep. So this is exactly what I said about Alec Pierce 2 years ago. They loved him so much, they traded down to get him. So they like him. They like things about his game, but there are things that they don't like. And again, you could tell this from the behind the scenes. Like, I really encourage you to watch the behind the scenes thing that the Colts sent out and really read between the lines.
It's on Colts.com.
It is. Colts.com. Yep. It's on YouTube. But watch it and read between the lines, because when they do this, when they move back, then you hear Chris Ballard say, let's talk about the Texas receiver. This is not a foregone conclusion that he's the pick there.
It's not like, you know, in JT's draft where they said, we got to go get this guy.
Exactly. Or a guy that's coming up shortly that we will talk about in a minute. But this was not certainly the pick. This is a pick they needed to discuss again in the draft room after weeks, after months of combing through tape and going through interviews, that they were not completely on the same page there yet in the Colts draft room for taking this guy. They needed to talk about it a little bit more. And whether it's those reports about everything, and maybe the thing that Chris is upset about Ballard is that the stuff gets leaked, that the stuff gets out there. These are things that you're going to discuss with scouts and like about guys' attitudes, about guys' drive, about guys' willingness to be coached.
But 31 other teams let him go this far as well.
Right. Felt the same
way. They completely did. So there's a reason that a guy with his tape and with his athleticism fell down to halfway through the second round. And so the Colts at some point are taking a risk with him. They hope that they can they get the best version of him. If they get the best version of him, he's going to be better than the 11th wide receiver taken in this draft. I really think he is. So it depends on, they have a quarterback to get him the ball. It depends on the balls to go around. This is not by any stretch a risk-free pick. I think that like the Laiatu Latu pick for me is. I wouldn't say risk-free because of the injury history completely, but I would say like that's much more of a solid pick than you have here in round two, and from the Colts' perspective as well, from what they had, because they seemed to be more on the same page with Latu and just did not seem to be completely on the same page with Mitchell. Not that I think that there were people in the room that were like gung-ho against him. Don't take for what I'm saying to mean that, but I just mean that this was not completely set in stone, that they needed to discuss it a little bit more just to make sure that they could get past some hurdles that they had and then make the pick that they did.
Yeah, at least internally, a little bit of a gamble. Maybe not a huge one, but at least a little bit of one.
So then you go into round three, the last pick the Colts had on the second day of the draft, and this was the one that everybody seemed to be on the same page about. Like, you, again,
the next two.
Exactly, next two, but especially this one in round three, because the Colts traded up. So they traded a sixth-round pick, to be able to move up three spots and draft offensive lineman Matt Gonsalves out of Pitt. And if you're looking for a Z in his last name, you will not find it, but it's still pronounced Gonsalves.
I'll call him Matt because I'll mess it up.
Just call him Matt. The C is pronounced like a Z.
I know this, and I've looked at it, and I've looked at the pronunciation. Each time I read it, I go back, and I'm... It just doesn't compute.
Like, I saw somebody tweet the pick before it was made, before Zaire made it on stage. And so, and then I heard Zaire make it on stage. I'm like, oh, Zaire just mispronounced his name. Come on. What a way for the guy to start his Indianapolis Colts career, Zaire Franklin mispronouncing his name on stage. Well, I'm wrong, because it is Gonsalves. He's an offensive lineman, like I said, out of Pittsburgh. He only played in three games this past season.
Toe injury?
Toe injuries. Left big toe, I think it was, from what I recall. And everybody loves this guy. Like, scouts love him. Ballard loves him. Sperano, the offensive line coach, loves him. The scout, Chad Henry, the Midwest area scout, loves him. He called him the Blueprint, was his nickname, because he said he was everything that the Colts want in an offensive lineman, everything they want in their culture.
He dropped like five F-bombs talking to Chris Ballard.
He did.
Matt did.
Yes, which, again, you fit right in with the Colts offensive line room. Said that, and he had 30 people there, and everybody was going nuts in his draft party. He was certainly the most excited of all the Colts draft picks to hear his name called and come to hear. None of us are going to analyze an offensive lineman's game here on this podcast. That's not what we do. But Chap, what I can ask you is, where does he fit this year? This year especially, because projecting him 4 years out, who knows what's going to happen with different players on the Colts offensive line. But what is he going to be right now?
I don't know. I mean,
it's hard to say.
I really don't, because they took two linemen to be, I don't say projects, but to be future guys, because you've got the young tackle in Blake Freeland.
Right.
And you've got the young left tackle in Bernard Raimann.
Freeland
was
a fourth-round pick.
Right.
And Raimann was third-round, 77th overall. Right. Gonzalez, I'm not going to say it right, Gonzalez is third-round, 79th overall, just two spots back from where they picked Raimann.
But they were in a position on the offensive line to do this, to look ahead. And you can never have there have been times they've not had enough tackles. We've seen that. And it just destroys your offense. But is there any question over Braden Smith? I don't think so. Coming off knee surgery, whatever seriousness. Knee surgery is serious. It just is. I don't care what.
Anytime they cut you open and sew things together, it's kind of serious.
That's where we get into the, is it a surgery or a procedure? Well, if they cut your skin, it's a surgery, doggone it. It just is. So, but this is a case of they're not going to let their offensive line slip at all. So we'll see where it goes. Again, you would think that there's not a lot of playing time for him initially, just because of what you've got three proven tackles now before him. But you always need bodies. People get hurt. We saw that with Braden Smith last year. For the most part, Bernard Raimann's been pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you always have room for upside tackles.
Yeah, building depth in the offensive line, Matt, can be a challenging thing, because teams that have tackles, especially that they like, they want to hang on to them, so they want to re-sign them. Like guys who are free agent tackles, they're usually free agents for a reason, because the prior teams have not been happy with them. So when you draft guys, yeah, sure, they have some potential, but they also don't have NFL experience either. So, like, you try to build depth on the offensive line, and this is maybe something that's true across any position, but I think maybe in particular with the offensive line, it's tough to build depth because it's hard to get experience when you're a backup offensive lineman, and it's hard to find a good free agent, because teams really like to hang on to their good offensive linemen.
And they appear to be in short supply. Hang on to, there was something wrong with them.
Right, exactly. Like for an example, the Colts found something good was Mark Lewinsky at guard several years ago. Like in 2017, 2018, whenever they found him.
He was good.
He was really good. He was really good, especially in the run game. Really liked his performance and his attitude. And it could be just a change in scheme. That could help you absolutely. But to be able to find good depth on the offensive line, I really think my ultimate point is to find good depth on the offensive line, you need to draft well, because it's very hard to go out and get a solid backup swing tackle or something to come in and set, just kind of set your offensive line in stone. So you need to draft guys who are decent there and then build them up through 4 years. And the Colts are hoping that Gonzalez is one of those guys.
And I suppose if you look at it this way, the Colts have had some pretty good luck with, you know, drafting guys. I think Freeland played well, better than most expected him last year, and playing a bigger role than anybody expected him. Will Fries has been pretty good for them on the interior when you needed him there.
It took him a hot minute.
Took him a minute. Yes. But he got there. He developed last year. Danny Pinter gave him some good starts at center when they needed him a couple seasons ago. Did not work out, you know, last year when they were going to try, or when they tried to start him. So they have had some pretty good hits there. But, you know, did they need to give up? My question will always be, did they need to give up a pick in order to get this guy what, three picks away?
Yep, they were so stoked for him. They were so desperate to get him, and Ballard did it. I think, because again, listening to the behind the scenes, originally he thought that it was going to be a seventh to move up, is what he said. Like in their in the video, and then it turned out to be a sixth to move up. So apparently he was like, he really wanted to. He really wanted to.
Well, and keep in mind, again, as much as you want like Latu to step in and play, you do have to look a year or two down the road with certain picks. And this is one, again, you're going to, if they're correct, they're going to pay Bernie Raimann pretty good money probably next year. I mean, 15, 16, 17 million. Ryan Kelly, we'll see. We'll talk about him in a minute. But Braden Smith will be a free agent after 25. So do you view Freeland or Matt as your right tackle of the future? Which I realize that's down the road, but you always have to have some plan B in place just in case. You know, it's hard to have the highest paid, one of the highest paid guards, and then have a high priced left tackle, which you hope you do. That's a great thing to have with a high priced left tackle. But are one of the, you know, is one of these guys, Freeland or this guy, you know, your right tackle of the future? I don't know how they look at it.
And it by picking this guy and going up and getting, to me, it's just like this is a very Chris Ballard draft.
Yep.
You know what I mean? This is kind of what the Colts do. They want to build that interior line on both sides of the ball, and they want to be strong there. And so this is a guy that they really, really liked, and so they went up and got him.
I will say that in my all-Raz Colts draft that we unveiled last week on the Colts Blue Zone podcast, I did have two mid-round offensive linemen taken, and that happened in this draft. They took two mid-round offensive linemen, and in round four, I got one correct. I got one correct. Round 417th overall, Dave's pick and Chris Ballard's pick is offensive lineman center Tanner Bordellini out of Wisconsin. The Raz.
Mr. Badger.
Exactly. Score of 977, a highly athletic interior offensive lineman. The Colts say that he has some flexibility there, and he's played guards, and he has played center last year. To me, this was the most obvious Chris Ballard pick of the entire draft because he's a high Raz Wisconsin offensive lineman, and the Colts have a need there in the sense that, Chap, they're unsure about the future of Ryan Kelly. Ryan Kelly has one more year on his contract. He says he wants to play. Said last year, of course, was very stalwart in the fact that he wanted to keep playing, at least for one more year, you know?
He told me, I ran into him on a golf course at the Colts complex. He said, Tin's got a real good sound to it, like Costanzo did.
Uh-huh.
Well, that means another year after this year.
All right, so it means two more years. And last year you had Wesley French, who was your backup center, who was completely adequate, I think, as your backup center. Came in and he didn't look completely a fish out of water.
Say more than serviceable. Which is what you can ask.
It's hard for me to judge between like good and very good offensive linemen. It really is, or like you can tell excellent offensive linemen. I think that's a lot easier to tell. But the debate between good and very good is hard. Like you can tell bad offensive line play. Just look back to 2022, and you can tell very bad offensive line play. It's very easy to see. But judging the difference between good and better than good is for me very difficult to do. But Bordellini is going to be a guy, Chap, that comes in at least that gives the Colts a little bit more sure of a future, that they have some guys in the pipeline in case Ryan Kelly decides to hang it up after 10 years. But
to move on from him.
Right, that too.
But no, and he's going to give you that guy that can play all three spots inside. And let's say they re-sign Kelly for a year or two. I could see them giving Kelly that two-year deal like they gave Costanzo, and Costanzo played one of them, and then he retired. Or, you know, Will Fries is going to be a free agent too.
Mm-hmm.
So is Bordellini maybe your future right guard? So he gives you options, and they loved him. They kept going. You talked to Rask, or they kept going back and going gaga over his workouts, how well he was moving and punching with his hands. So this was a quality pick, and he's got a cool mullet hairdo.
Say his hair is amazing. If
that's
you've
right.
not seen it.
Chap asked him to show off the mullet,
and he did.
And he did. He turned right around, flung it back and forth. Yeah, he says it makes him look sleeker, makes him look sexier.
Yeah, he said that it started when he was a freshman, and they did the freshman always, if you agree to it, which you're going to agree to it, have a mess with your hair, and they gave him a mullet. And he said he found out that he had a receding hairline already.
Yes.
So he just sort of kept it.
Yep. And so it's a fantastic party in the back. If you spy that on Tanner Bordellini. We'll go into the fifth round. At 142nd overall, the Colts draft wide receiver Anthony Gould out of Oregon State. 8.87 RAS. His 40 time is another speedster, 4.39. And I don't know how much action Chappie's going to see on offense this year. Maybe you get it to him somewhat in a screen game and get him on the field there. But with the changes in the kickoff rule this year, I think this is a very obvious pick that the Colts had. They viewed a need on their roster for that, in spite of having guys who've done it, like Dallas Flowers has been a kickoff returner before.
Coming
it was
off
a
an
really
Achilles,
good
though.
One. Yep, a couple years ago. They decided they wanted to go out and get a guy to be able to do that because looking at their roster, they felt that they could do better.
And they even mentioned that it wasn't good enough last year. That was Isaiah McKenzie.
Right.
They talked about production and decision-making. So, and when we talked to Gould about this, he said, yeah, about the new rules. He said, yeah, I look at the new kickoffs as glorified punts. So, but yeah, and also he's got the talent and the skill set to be that backup in the slot for Josh Downs if
right.
something happens. So this is a really, really good pick.
Yep. I think it's intriguing, Matt, that like the NFL, whenever the NFL makes changes, teams have to adjust, whether it's schematically, personnel-wise now, is going to be something that every team is looking for, an edge in this game. And last year, this guy Gould, he averaged 16 yards plus on punt returns. And if indeed that there are similarities between this new kickoff return and punts, which he seems to think there is, well, 16 yards is a pretty good punt return average.
Absolutely. This guy's a burner, and he's also played, I believe, at wide receiver inside and outside. So he can do your route tree, you know, as you will. But like that 4.39 speed, just I think it's a very good pick for the Colts, especially like, you know, you've got Dallas Flowers coming off the Achilles injury, and so maybe you don't necessarily want him being your primary return guy. Also, Josh Downs is going to be a big part of your offense. You don't necessarily want him to
right.
take that kickoff pounding every time either. So not that Gould's expendable or anything like that, but it's nice that you'll have a good option back there.
No, that's completely a fair point. If you want Dallas Flowers to be back there, I mean, if it's after a long defensive drive, like 10 plays, so he's been out there as a defender the entire time, he's going to be tired back there, and he's not going to be at his best. You would rather have a guy, I think you would always rather have an offensive guy, and not a non-defensive starter back there returning kicks for you, because it's going to come after the defense was just on the field for the most part, really, really scratching and clawing and trying to keep a team from scoring and failing to keep a team from scoring if they kick off to you for that matter. So, I would rather always have an offensive player back there who's who can
Naheem Hines
get the mm-hmm. job started for the offense with one play and for the most part a backup offensive player. And there are times when that's different. I think back to the times where there are sometimes where the Eagles, I go back to them because I grew up watching them. They would mix in DeSean Jackson returning punts or Brian Westbrook returning punts when there were some very important times for them to be back there. And
T.Y. Hilton.
And
every
T.Y.
once
Hilton,
in a while.
Exactly.
Yep.
Every once in a while go back there for the Colts as well. So you can have a guy who's like a Josh Downs if you really think he's your best out there from time to time. But you would rather have another guy back there most of the time. Who you really like as well, Chad.
I'm old enough to remember Marvin Harrison returning punts.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, back in like 96. And then you thought, no, we don't want to do that.
Like, nah, it's cool.
And what they, you know, T.Y., he had the one touchdown against somebody. And those just break games. They just break games.
Yep.
So it as much as the league until this year has tried to minimize the return game, this pick makes sense. And, again, it gives you the option of, well, he can help us on offense, but he can really help us in the return game.
And that's something that the Colts need, and something that I brought up last week talking about this draft class and kind of why I was leaning toward Cooper DeJean there in the first round. I thought that he had more game-breaking capabilities than some of the other cornerbacks did. Like, you need guys after Shaq Leonard leaves and you don't have that X factor on your defense anymore that gets 11 is part of 15, whatever it is, turnover-worthy plays in one season, for crying out loud. You need other guys on the roster that can make those dynamic plays, especially when it comes to, well, in every position, but on special teams and defense that can really turn the tide of a game. And offense can, too. Don't get me wrong, for sure. But defense and special teams can also do that, can set your offense up for great success. So that's Anthony Gould there at wide receiver out of Oregon State. He's listed at 5'8", by the way, which is shorter than Josh Downs is listed at 5'9". So he's
a small guy, and that's probably where the RAS gets him a little bit on the size composite for the position. But, I mean, gosh, the speed, 4'3", 940, you can't argue with
that. And, hey, as a short guy myself, let me say – props to you for being capable of being in the NFL. It's maybe not Danny Woodhead 5'6", but nevertheless, you can get lost behind some of those blockers and scoot out to the side, and that's why you get those 16, 20, 30, 40-yard returns, because teams lose you. And if you're good enough, if you're fast enough, if you're loosened enough, then doggone it, that's a really good position for you. So Anthony Gould with the Colts. So this is also makes a pretty stacked wide receiver room right now, guys, to be fair, because you got Michael Pittman, one. You've got Josh Downs in there. You've got Alec Pierce. There's three that were all back from last year. You've got A.D. Mitchell that you just drafted second overall. You've got Gould here as a fifth wide receiver. You've got Ashton Doolin coming back from injury. There's six guys right there.
We were talking in the media room yesterday. Are we looking at six receivers and three tight ends?
Maybe.
Because they normally keep four tight ends.
But again, you go to tight ends, they have guys they like there too. Obviously, you have Jelani Woods. You have Kylan Granson. You have Mo Alie-Cox.
Will Mallory.
Will Mallory. You have Drew Ogletree. There are five guys right there who all made the roster last year, by the way. And then there were some roster shenanigans, I think, after that first cut. But there are five guys that you like there at tight end. I think there's going to be fewer running backs. I think there were like four or five running backs last year that were on the roster.
Probably two quarterbacks. Didn't they carry three quarterbacks all
they
year?
They did carry three quarterbacks, yeah. So this gets into a roster dynamic discussion that we'll get into more training camp, but those are certainly things to think about. Does Sam Ehlinger have a roster spot? Does a fourth running back have a roster spot?
And the way they handle a practice squad, it extends it, but you still can only keep 53.
Exactly. Like, teams can still sign guys off the practice squad. Sure,
those are free agents.
Yeah, you get to bump them up on game day, but for crying out loud, another team can go and sign them immediately if they like them. So, go ahead.
With Ehlinger, though, weren't they allowed to keep an extra roster spot because of a rule change last year? For a quarterback, or was that the game
was
day
that just
roster?
Game day. I think game that was just game day.
It's still 53.
Right.
It's still 53.
Yeah. So let's continue on here in round five, 151st overall. The Colts draft Jalen Carlisle, linebacker out of Missouri. Played linebacker and safety in college. Really played more safety and played closer to the line of scrimmage, closer to the end of his career as well. An 8.26 RAS score, ran a 4.540. Gus Bradley said in his availability this week, believes he can step into a linebacker role. And the Colts told him that immediately when they called him. It was like, hey, we view you as a linebacker. So he's a bigger dude. He's like, 6'2", 230 pounds or something like that. So for a safety, and long is the word as Matt reaches out his arms here
long
in the studio.
Arms.
Yeah. So he's going to look like a little bit like Shaq Leonard there with those long
Absolutely.
Arms there. I'm not comparing him to the player at all. Just kind of a little bit the look. And he's bigger than Shaq. He's heavier than Shaq was too. Shaq was kind of a string bean. I shouldn't say that. That's putting it too far. But he was definitely one of a skinnier linebacker.
Yeah,
we will say.
For sure.
Yeah.
This is one they pointed out that this the scouting staff has to kind of mesh with the coaching staff.
Right.
And they said linebackers coach Richard Smith really thought this guy could be a lot. Couldn't make the transition to linebacker because he's the way he's played. In the box and can cover like tight ends.
Yeah, for guys like that, for guys that are kind of tweeners, you have to have the support.
Ronnie Harrison
of the position.
That was my very first thought was here we got another versatile guy like a Ronnie Harrison.
Yep. Hey, and there's no one better to coach him also than a Cato June. For crying out loud, who was in a very similar position himself years ago for the Colts too.
And again, just as much as they play sub packages, what are you in base? 30%? I don't know.
Yeah.
So you only play two linebackers most of the time. So this guy could be that Suedo
right.
nickel guy.
And there's some, there is definitely some room in the Colts roster to find a guy there, because you have Zaire and EJ Speed. Those are your two that you know you're going to be your starters. They're going to be your two nickel backers. And those are the guys that are going to get the majority of the snaps. But after them, there really is up Sigun for debate. Alubi. Exactly. Sigun Alubi is like, he was fine last year, and he did some teams work, some special teams work that I thought was pretty good. But it's not like, oh, they have Sigun Alubi, there's no room for Jalen Carlisle right. to get any play here. So that's going to be a good competition, I think, for him to sneak in there, get some get a role there. Who else? You have Grant Stewart, who's more of your special teams mm-hmm. linebacker. You had Cam McGrone, Lawrence Central stand up, who saw some time there last year. Ronnie Harrison, who was a safety and moved up to linebacker, who's still on the roster now.
And those players, they give you roster flexibility too.
Right, they
if
do.
You're looking to carry an extra wide receiver, maybe you can steal a spot on defense.
Right, with one of those guys. So that's Jalen Carlisle's linebacker out of Missouri. Further in round five, after trading down again and regaining a sixth round pick, at 164th overall, the Colts draft Jalen Simpson, cornerback out of Auburn. I don't know overly too much about Jalen Simpson. I'll be perfectly honest with you.
He also played some safety.
Played mm-hmm. a little bit of safety as well.
It's interesting because, like, Carlisle's, If you go to the draft boards, yeah. listed as a safety. Colts, when they announced his draft pick, linebacker. Same thing with Simpson, listed under most draft boards as a safety, but when the Colts announced him as a pick, they announced him as a cornerback.
Right.
Because that's the plan, that's the vision they've got for him.
Right. Some of these guys, and this is not like these cornerbacks that are going to be taken late, and the next one as well, they're not the same like big size prototypical outside corner that Chris Ballard has drafted last year with all three guys he drafted last year, from Juju Brents to Darius Rush to Jalen Jones. These guys are like in the 5'11 range and in the like 190 pound range instead of 200 pounds ish. So they're a little bit smaller. Simpson saw time, like we said, at safety in college too. I don't know where the Colts are going to put him right now. I really don't, whether it's cornerback or safety. They certainly have a need at safety opposite.
They're still
going to
sign a safety.
Exactly. They're going to sign a safety. I think we're on the same page with that. They're still looking for the right veteran guy.
They've got to get some veteran in the back.
You don't say, hey, we drafted a sixth round pick or fifth round pick. We're good to go.
Our problems are solved.
Yeah. But when you talk about outside the box on when you get to later in the draft, Micah Abraham is outside the box.
Yes, he is.
100%.
And that's the next one. Micah Abraham, round six, 201st overall, cornerback out of Marshall. And his RAS score is a paltry 3.7. What are the Colts doing? Did somebody tie and gag Chris Ballard and somebody else make this pick? What's going on here?
I think you saw the experience on like the zillion interceptions the guy mm-hmm. had, so he's a playmaker.
Yeah, it's the ball hawk nature of this guy that got him in. And listen, the size is not where the Colts typically like their guys.
Right.
They don't go outside that box very much. I think that's why that RAS mm-hmm. is so low. The body composite, what they call the body composite, is not where you would like it to be for a cornerback at this level. However, he does have elite speed, and he has been around the ball a lot.
What the Colts also need, we'll talk about both of these guys, whether it's Jalen Simpson or Micah Abraham, they need someone to back up Kenny Moore mm-hmm. in the inside.
Yep. Because
that's what this guy probably is.
And that's what Tony Brown was up until last year. Like, he was the backup to Kenny Moore. And I always look back to 2019, whatever year it was. It's a long way ago now. Gosh, however long that Kenny Moore was injured down the stretch of the season, and the defense just got torched.
It didn't
every
have anybody
game.
To fill his shoes.
That is such an important position for what they do, is the nickel corner, because they're in sub packages so much, and they have three corners on the field, and Kenny's pretty darn good at what he does, but they need someone to be behind him, and it's a different skill set to be an interior corner than it is on the outside. It really is. But yeah, Micah Abraham had, I believe, was 35 passes defended and like 11 interceptions his last 2 years at Marshall. So again, when you're looking at the behind the scenes videos, the Colts shot, what Chris Ballard says is, let's get the guy with all the interceptions. That was what he said when they drafted Micah Abraham. So that's pretty cool. Also a cousin of former Colt Tim Jennings, the cornerback who played with Chris Ballard, Chicago Bears. And Ballard didn't know that. Funny enough. It is.
It's weird.
All the digging you do, that Ballard, I think it was our friend James Boyd with The Athletic who brought it up, said, hey, he was cousins with Tim Jennings. And Ballard admitted that he didn't know that. But I'm sure he knew that Donnie Abraham was mm-hmm. his father, longtime Jets cornerback, who certainly I remember from my time
drafted
watching football
younger. Second round, third round by Tampa.
Yes.
I think it was. But
yes. But then had a good career with the Jets after that, too. So Micah Abraham, now a Colt. Round 7, their final draft pick, 234th overall, Jonah Lu'ulu, defensive tackle out of Oklahoma. At a good Raz, 9.62, a sub 540 at 4.96. Big guy on the inside. He played 4 years at Hawaii, then 2 more at...
6 years.
Yes, at Oklahoma after transferring. God bless COVID that you can get just another year of college football, which I remember my time in college. Why not stay in college for one more year, for crying out loud? For many guys, that's...
You and John Belushi, Blutarski.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
8 years of college, down the drain, or whatever it was.
Whatever it was. But Lu'ulu, he to me is a prime practice squad contender, because I was looking over the Colts' defensive line, just the positions they would have. Like, there's no room for anybody unless you want to have like 14 defensive linemen on your day one roster.
Don't put it past them.
I won't. Just to be able to get after the passer. But like, he's a guy that you want to stash there probably and work on and develop as an interior guy, because he moved inside over the last year or two at Oklahoma after he played outside at Hawaii. And Chris Ballard thought that he took some significant steps toward being an NFL player there after moving inside. So he's really a three technique, which is DeForest Buckner's position, who just signed a long-term contract to be here. So he's not gonna unseat everybody right away. But there's your draft class. Nine players.
One thing
on Lu'ulu.
His reaction on the video was outstanding.
Uh huh.
Is this a prank call?
Yes, that's right. And when Chris Ballard said, "Hey, this is Chris Ballard with the Colts. You're going to come to Indy." He says, "This is a prank call?"
And what Ballard said, he said, "I bet a lot of guys, you're being recruited pretty heavily now as an undrafted guy."
Yep.
And when you get down that low in the draft, that's what people are doing. So,
yep.
You know, sometimes I've always wondered, is it better when it gets that low, is it better to be a free agent? Then you can sort of go, you can pick where you want to go.
Right.
But when you're drafted, first you get the... You were drafted.
Right.
And the signing bonus is a little better.
Yes,
It just is. So, good for him. And I retweeted that video. And what's the coolest thing is the family reaction when their sons and brothers and all this are drafted. One of them, I don't know whether it was AD or one of them, and his mom walks up and she says, "Give me a hug."
Yep.
And it was like, you know, you're trying to be all manly and drafted. And he said, "Give your mom a hug." Okay, mom. But the reactions are really kind of heartwarming.
Yep. And so that's a fun watch with the behind the scenes stuff.
All the introduction. It's funny because some of these guys talk, you know, for a couple of minutes when they're introduced to the media, and some of them are very professional and guarded, and you can tell that they've kind of been through some media training or they're just comfortable with it. And then you get guys like Lu'ulu, and his was great. Like, mm-hmm. he talked for like 11 minutes. He just rambled at times.
Yes.
And he said, "I'm sorry, I'm rambling." But it's a good watch.
Oh my gosh. So I'll tell you a quick story about that. Like, we're kind of slamming. We're trying to get some sound in to like a 6 o'clock newscast, I think, for that or something. I forget exactly what it is, or we're waiting to wrap up so we can go somewhere else. But we have this Zoom on Lu'ulu, and our friend George Bremer, of the Herald Times, asked the last question, like, "Hey, can you give us like..." I think Matt Conte, the Colts PR guy, says, "Okay, one more question, George." And George says, "Can you tell us a little bit about your story?" And so I'm like, "Okay, one more question, guys. We're going to wrap up, and then we're going to go to where we need to be next, and we're going to shut down the computer. We're going to send this Zoom call."
5 minutes, 6 minutes.
And literally, he talks for 5-6 minutes, just telling a little bit about his story. And I'm like, "Stop talking. I need to go. What's going on here?
I told George Bremer he has to transcribe that section for all of us, because it was... this kid was the most pleasant to talk with, because... this is his dream.
Yep.
I mean, not that it wasn't for all of them, but I just really enjoyed talking to him, listening to him.
So 9 players. It'll be eager. I'll be eager to see which who those guys from the 5th round on, I think, that can make an impact this year.
It's going to be hard. And Ballard was asking us, where you want your roster to be is where it's hard for the bottom to make the roster.
Yeah.
And I think... you know, they still need top-end talent. They
just do. I completely agree.
But I think it's going to be hard for these the 47 on down to make the roster, which is a good thing.
Yep. I think one, either Jalen Carlisle, Jalen Simpson, or Micah Abraham has a bigger impact this year than you would. I can't predict which. It might come back down to injuries and just guys getting opportunity here. But one of those guys is probably going to be significant.
Maybe more so than the offensive lineman.
I mean, if the offensive line stays healthy, exactly. So that's the thing. Like if one of those guys gets hurt, then no holds barred. Either Gonzalez or Bortolini could have a big thing. And of course, your first and second round pick, you want to have significant roles. So exactly. That's why I don't single that out.
You need him to play, and you need him to play well, and you need him to play, you know, right now.
Because Ballard said you like to hit on as many as you can. He said, but you have to hit on two or three.
Right.
You
got
to. Yep. And we could argue all that they've done, I still say, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that of all the draft picks Ballard has made, the one that he's got to be right on is Richardson. You got to be right on the quarterback, because if you're not, then everything else you've done is just not gonna. It's not that it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It's gonna make it harder to win.
Go ahead.
But then you need to hit on the defensive end, because it's obvious that's what you told everyone by your actions what you needed. As good mm-hmm. as the pass rush was last year, you missed the closer. So if you hit it, it's sort of similar but not quite the same of Pulleyan hitting on Manning and Edgerrin. You know, what the foundation of what that did going forward. Now, it's different with the quarterback with Richardson, although he needs to be the guy. Mm-hmm. And the defensive end, it's the highest defensive end they've taken since Dwight Freeney.
Out of?
Syracuse. I was going to say Bloomfield, Connecticut, but I know that's not what you were going for. So you hit on those guys, and they're foundational pieces. You need as many as you can. That's why the Quiddy thing is important, mm-hmm. what you do. But you cannot whiff on first round draft picks.
You can't. And I'll make one more point, and this will be the last point I make before we wrap us up today, that you have to hit on the quarterback to that point. That's why I'm not criticizing the Atlanta Falcons for taking Michael Penix Jr. I think it was a surprise pick. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong.
Yep.
But they're operating in the sense that, hey, they have Kirk Cousins right now. They don't think they're going to be 4-13, 5-12 over the next couple years with Cousins. So they don't think they're going to be picking in the top 10, in the top 15 over the next couple years. So if they really want to hit on the – if they have that much faith that Penix is a guy for the NFL, then take him now when you're picking there. I understand their perspective.
But he's not going to play for 3 years.
Exactly. I understand their perspective that – like and a cousin's perspective or a player's perspective that what
Cousins,
does he do
Cousins
right now?
Couldn't have been happy.
No.
Couldn't have been.
What does he do right now to help you? Not a whole lot, if anything at all. But if you're building a franchise, not a one-year team,
I don't disagree.
I completely get what they're doing. So that's my final point.
This was a good pick for the franchise long-term, not short-term, unless...
And a frustrating pick for the players in that locker room, I think, now.
And from everything we heard, you get it on social media, you don't know what totally to believe, but I think the first time Cousins knew about it is when they were on the clock.
Yep, that's what they said.
And I think what they said is we're thinking about... Well, no, they knew what they were doing.
Right.
So I do think you give a guy you just invested $100 million guaranteed or whatever it is.
Right.
They're locked into Cousins for three years with guaranteed money. But you're right. If you're looking long term, you know, Jordan Love type of things is what builds you long term.
And I'll also say if Kirk Cousins is unhappy, he can go home and cry and blow his nose with straight cash money Kleenex that he's earned over his career.
Yeah, he's wiping his nose with hundreds.
Yes.
So I understand that. But again, if I'm in the locker room thinking, what did we do in the first round to get better this year?
Right.
And if you're a player, that's all you care about.
I get it. Like, I completely get it there. I do think that they have some good weapons there. I mean, they have Kyle Pitts, they have Drake London, they have Bijan Robinson. There's no excuse for that offense to be terrible. So anyway, that's the Colts Blue Zone podcast. Certainly an intriguing time of year with the draft class. They should be in town next week for Colts rookie camp. We might get to talk to a couple of them here, all donning their horseshoe apparel. And so next week,
Lachu got a horseshoe tattoo on his shoulder.
How about that? Boom. I like it.
All chips in.
That's right. And on that note, you can follow us on Twitter at Colts Blue Zone. Mike Chappell's at mchappell51. Read his work online, fox59.com, cbs4indy.com. Matt is Statamatty. I'm at Dave G_sports. We'll see you next week on the Colts Blue Zone podcast.